Our scripture reading today is going to be from the Gospel of Luke. We are going to be in the second chapter, looking at verses 1 through 12. Hear these words. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Amen. When I was in college, I found that as I got towards the near of any break, I got really, really good at making to-do lists, making a list of things I wanted to accomplish before going home for the break. Often, that list included things like studying 3 weeks in advance for any finals, or washing all of my laundry before I went home, or checking the fridge and pantry for any items that may expire while I was on break. The list went on and on. Yet, as the end of that semester, especially my very first semester of college, the list must have gone out the door, because I was cramming last minute, staying up crazy hours just to pass my finals, not even get an A, pass. And I found myself that very last day cramming unwashed laundry into my vehicle, speeding away as fast as I could, praying for a miracle on my test, and just wanting to be home, to sleep in, to find some peace. And I'd love to say that I was a functioning adult and that this changed each semester. I suddenly got better at doing this, but it's not true. I must not have been functioning or even an adult, because this happened every single semester. I would find myself cramming that stuff in, throwing my arms in the air and saying, "Here we are again." You'd think I'd learn from doing it over and over again. Maybe for some of you, as we read today's passage, this Christmas story, you may have thought to yourself, "Here we are again." Hopefully you're not thinking of tests you didn't study for. It's a little late for that, sweet friends. But maybe you're thinking of this story. Didn't we just read the same story a year ago? We know that story. Mary, Joseph, the little baby, a manger, the wise men, the shepherds. Heck, we even know about the disciples. We know about the cross. Yet every year, we find ourselves here again, looking at the same story. Here we are again. There must be something drawing us here, something moving us back to this space year after year. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Silent Night. It is a song probably just as familiar to some of you as this scripture reading. It was a song written hundreds of years ago. Actually, it was written in 1818 on Christmas Eve, exactly 200 years ago from today. It was written and performed for the first time that Christmas Eve by a young priest named Joseph Moore in a small town in Austria. But the origin of that story is cause for a lot of debate over the years. As I researched this song and learned more about its history, two fascinating legends regarding this hymn struck my fancy. The first includes rodents. Yep, it's Christmas Eve and we're talking about rodents. You're here for this. The priest was preparing for their Christmas Eve service when he discovered, legend says, that mice had eaten away inside of the organ. So he would be unable to use the organ to perform their nightly songs. And assessing this situation kind of in hindsight, I'm wondering if there wasn't always some type of mice problem in this church. Mice don't just scuttle in and it's like a one-time thing and they're gone, right? Mice are kind of an issue. When you have mice for a while. So I'm sure as he discovered that this organ had been eaten up by mice, he threw his hands in the air and said, "Here we are again, my nemesis, the mice." Yet, he used this excuse, this issue, this problem, this pesky, pesky issue to create. He wrote this song, Silent Night, and he wrote it originally to be used with guitars, not with an organ, which was unheard of in that time period. Guitars were for tavern and kind of sketchy things, right? Guitars didn't belong in a church. Yet this young priest found a way to bridge a gap in an unexpected way. He turned his pesky situation of mice into something he could use, that he could create. Now for the second legend. There are no rodents involved. Sorry for all of you rodent lovers. This instead is a little more preachery. This legend states that this same young priest, the night before Christmas Eve, got a call out to visit one of his congregants, to visit them in their home. And as he arrived to their home, the congregant gave birth to a baby. And inspired by this birth, inspired by the ways that it paralleled to the Christmas story, on his way back to the church, the young priest stopped at the river and reflected and wrote a poem about a baby being born, one of the loudest things ever, and instead found the beauty in the silence near that river, in the snow, in the quiet, and wonders how we too may find Christ not only in the loud, but also in the quiet. This young priest had probably visited a ton of different congregants over his time, probably seen babies been born. But this baby made an impact on him. It inspired this poem that gave way to the hymn, Silent Night. As he walked out the door, he probably could have thought of everything else he had on his plate. A homily to write, the music to get together. If we merge the two stories together, maybe he was worried about the rodents already. Yet, he did not throw his hands up and say, "Here we are again." He used this experience to transform his ministry, to transform his life, to connect others with the beauty of a baby being born on a most silent night. He was in the habit, perhaps, of getting rid of mice, of visiting congregants. Yet in doing those things over and over again, they lent themselves to new meaning. An annoying, persistent issue gave birth to new and beautiful light. Mice are ordinary things. Visiting one another in community should be an ordinary thing. Yet God transformed each. A few weeks ago, the youth group, along with the choir, some of which are behind me, had the opportunity to carol in nursing homes. We've had this opportunity since I've been here. This was my fifth time going. How many of you have caroled in a nursing home with LPYC? Yes, great, fabulous. They passed. And as we were caroling, we visit these two nursing homes. They're the same nursing homes we've actually visited the past few years. So the students are really comfortable regarding what to expect. They know that the bus is going to pull up into the awning, and they're going to say, here we go again, singing in the cafeteria, putting smiles on our face, trying to listen to Joe over the sound of eating. We file in through the nursing homes two by two, singing through the hallways, ending up in the cafeteria, blessing others with a gift of music. We knew what to expect. We do it every year. But this year, something different happened. As we ended with our final song in the cafeteria of our last nursing home, we started to leave. And a woman who worked there said, hey, if y'all have time, we'd love to invite you into the memory care unit. They're finishing up their dinner. And as we went into this area, we found ourselves in a new and exciting experience. The people in the memory care unit were pretty preoccupied with what they were doing. Some did not even look up from their table as we came in. They were busy eating their food or playing games. We had a few people who were actually just speaking words out loud over the music throughout the whole time. Because I am a pastor and I spend quite a lot of time in hospitals, I was enjoying standing back and watching the students, seeing how they interacted with this new audience, with this new group of listeners. And you could see the agitation, the frustration, the distractions that clouded their heads as they tried to continue to sing over the noise and what some may consider chaos. And as we ended the sets, we came to one of our last songs, Silent Night. And as the students began to sing, every single resident in that cafeteria also started to sing. They stopped what they were doing. They stopped yelling out loud. Instead, they joined together with our students to sing. Visiting a nursing home, something we do every single year, gave birth to new meaning this year. It connected us with people who some had not been able to be connected to. This is why we are here tonight, friends. While it may seem like we are going through the motion, these memories are important. It is important every year that we celebrate the birth of Christ, that we rejoice in the hope that was given to this world. Here we are again, in the best, most excited way. Even if sometimes it feels like we're going through the motions, even if sometimes you come here with a heavy heart, maybe you're not looking forward to Christmas, to the family drama, to the chaos that may surround your life. And maybe some of you, this is the best year yet. We all come with different things to this table this evening. And it's okay to go through the motions, because those memories are what sustain us. They're what connects us. I would love to say that I am so much better at to-do lists now. I'm really not. Sometimes I succeed and finish a to-do list, but something in the practice of trying over and over and over again helps me. It motivates me. One day I'm going to finish a complete to-do list, and I'm going to be here telling you all about it. Practice helps. A song written 200 years ago, maybe among mice and newborn babies, has the ability to connect a group of students with residents whose memory isn't all there. It's able to bridge that gap. Memory, the hope, the glory, the blessings. Those are why we celebrate today. Those are why we rejoice on this Christmas Eve. Keep coming back. Keep reading those stories. May they take on new meaning and new life in each of your lives this year. Here we are again, friends. Here we are. Amen.